fighting and full of nonsense. The Stephen Howson Podcast. Made in Manchester.
Hello everybody, this is Stephen Howson. This is Ben Adams. This is the Stephen Howson Podcast. You guys are hopefully dual screening us watching Juventus beat Monaco away as well. 2-0. Higuain double.
Classic.
Looks like a decent game. Did you catch Ajax and Lyon earlier?
I didn't even know it was on me. I was like, I seen on Twitter, like, oh, Lacazette coming on to save the day. Or like he's the saviour or something. I was like, huh?
Yeah, I only realised it was on once someone said to me,
why is it on today?
I have no idea whatsoever. I mean, previously they'd done it because they needed to have certain games on in the area, but I don't know what the reason is.
Well, I can't imagine what's on tomorrow in Amsterdam, unless it's local elections.
It could be something like that, couldn't it?
Yeah.
But I was surprised.
I thought they were both played at the same time. No.
Yeah, I did. But anyway, thank you to everybody for joining us tonight. This is the Stephen Howson Podcast. This is the Thursday night podcast, but it's Wednesday because we're still in the Europa League. Big old game tomorrow for Manchester United.
Can't wait.
Possibly season defining, I think, in terms of everything. We are in sync. The audio should sound good, but we was late, so, you know, that's just how it rolls, isn't it? Thank you to everybody who's been leaving us a review on iTunes. Now, we have a little bit of an announcement that you guys really need to do something about, and I will put in the link right now for you. So, the Stephen Howson Podcast YouTube channel will be hosting this podcast as of June. So, from June... In fact, I'll do it once the video's finished. But essentially, if you go to... let me just put it in the... What's happened there?
Bit of an elbow.
On El Tigre. Oh, yeah. This is going to be one of the last few podcasts. So I've just put it into the description now. So if you guys check the description, it's above the Patreon link. That's the channel that these podcasts will be on as of the end of the season. So we're going to keep them going till the end of the season. And then I'm just going to put podcast channel. Then all of these podcasts will be on the podcast channel. And the warm down will be the podcast that's on this channel. I hope that's all right with everybody. So we need all you to go and subscribe. So that's on like 1,500 subscribers or something like that. Obviously, we need a little bit more on that one before everything's happy days on it. But there you go. That's just what's happening. Let me just get it back on the view page so I can see. In fact, I don't need it on the view page, do we? That's that. Thanks for leaving the reviews on iTunes. Go over and subscribe on the podcast channel. I forgot to do a Snapchat and an Instagram live because we was running late. So tomorrow, the big news is basically it looks like half the defenders are back in the mixer.
Finally.
So the title is like out of date already, out of the mixer. But I do want to talk about Tuan Zebe and Mourinho and his attitude towards the likes of Fosu Mensah and Tuan Zebe this season, because I don't think it's been good enough. And I do think that's one thing that he needs to fix next season, I think.
But what's his remit, though?
Well, okay, yeah, I agree that it's in his remit, but you bring in on a fullback
to play.
Yeah,
I know
that. When you've got centre half on the bench.
I was tearing my hair out of that. If you think any time he's going to actually get on the pitch.
Yeah, you get an injury there, and you're like, no, we brought on a winger to fill in for Luke Shaw, and we bring in a fullback to play at centre half, and you're just like,
if the mantra is, if you're good enough, you're old enough, innit?
Not for Jose.
Which
it's more like, if you're old enough, you're old enough, I think.
But yeah, you need, as long as you played 100 first team games, then I'll pick you.
Well, I think Marcus Rashford got in there on the basis that he'd gone to the Euros and he was technically a first team player by then. He'd played a lot last season.
Well, he didn't want to play him, did he? He started him on the bench, and it's only because of his sheer determination to get in the team that he is actually in the team and stuck at it.
He started the season by, I mean, he has changed his opinion on certain things, and I have mentioned how impressed I've been with how fluid he is with his tactics, but he started off the season saying Zlatan and Rashford would never play unless we was going to completely dominate a game because it's too attacking. And you go, right, okay, And then Marcus Rashford changes that. Marcus has played now 45 times this season for United.
And I heard something definitely the other day, like, talking about Harry Kane and saying, oh, if Harry Kane was in this United team, would he have been given the opportunity to develop and play that? You know, he's playing it week in, week out. I thought, well, Rashford is playing shitloads. Yeah. It's just because he's not scoring and creating the headlines like he was last season doesn't mean that he's not contributing. You look at him still learning and developing.
Yeah.
I'm happy with his contribution.
I'm happy with his contribution. And I think the thing that I always use is, like, I think people expect Ronaldo out of him. But I think if you look at where he's come from, where he was 12 months ago, maybe 12 months isn't the ideal one. Maybe if you look at 15 months ago, where he was. Because 15 months ago, he'd just been named on the bench for Midtjylland prior to Marshall going down.
Mm.
And there was little people really expecting him to come on and do something from that point. He'd played well. Like I said, I'd written about him like 4 or 5 months prior to that, said I really like him. I like the determination, the attitude and all that sort of stuff. But he's not got the composure and the finishing. And then last season, at least, he shows unbelievable amounts of composure and puts finishes away that you've not seen, man.
Ridiculous.
The City one, the West Ham one especially, were absolutely fantastic. I mean, even his first goal against Midtjylland, sort of like, whoa, out of nowhere.
The ones against Arsenal. Like, they were like season veteran finishes then, weren't they?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, do this every week.
And he didn't do it in the academy. That's the mental thing about it. He wasn't that out-and-out goal scorer in the academy.
Some people, once they step up tonight, they just take it by, you know, completely different, don't they?
It's also a little bit of a case, I think, sometimes of the better players around you are able to create more.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe some academy sides suffer from what we see from United a little bit at times as well, where they don't really attack you and they try and make it.
Well, when you're playing in the academy, it's not so much about the win, is it? It's about how you're developing as a player and you're learning, and to then go into the first team to then be able to perform like that. So
potentially no, but reality is it kind of is, because I see people moaning all over the place saying United's academy is shit still. Which is mental, because you think, last year I watched Chelsea beat United 5-1 in the 18s in the FA Youth Cup, and if it had been 10-1, you'd have just walked off the pitch and gone, they was worth that. Tammy Abrams just bullied United.
He's ripping it up, isn't he?
And he's ripping it up in the Pro Leagues now, so he's an excellent footballer. But
will he play for Chelsea, though?
I don't think he will, which is a shame, because he's a very, 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 very good footballer. But you look at United's team that day, and Rashford was in that team. Axel Tounsdale was in that team, Fosu Mensah was in that team, and Gomez came off the bench. And you go, if I had to put my money on those four, you know, eventually going on and doing something at United, I would, because you can see that that's what they're going to do. But if you base it on how they, I mean, they didn't have particularly bad performances individually that night. They was just completely swept aside by a fantastic Chelsea team.
Chelsea just done exactly the same to City this year.
Yeah.
Fulton, is it 6-1 or 6-2 or something like that?
They definitely hoard players that, and they sort of sandbag it a little bit, you know, by not letting them go up.
But they do that with the first team, though. They sign a shitload of players and then they whack them all out on loan just because they can't afford to do it and keep people on the payroll.
I wonder if there's a way around that, a more ethical way of doing that. Like, you can only have... So you register your 25 players... And then you can maybe have 5 that you send out on loan that would be considered first team. And then you have a limit to what you can register as your 23s and a limit on your 18s. Is that the only way to do it? Maybe there's a rule that you can't loan out 23s players or something. We'd fall foul of that a little bit this season. Or maybe there's a limit on how many you loan out. Because I think they had 20-odd. City have got 20-odd. Well, that's too many.
Yeah, I mean... I don't know how they work it. They change their mind all the time. Like, oh, this is not working. This is what we need to do to develop the national game and stuff like that.
Well,
but it's not just... It's more... There's a lot of other clubs. Like, if you look at United, they've always got the most players or ex-players that are playing in the Premier League or Championship, maybe possibly even in League One.
There was a stat last year. I don't know what it is for this year because I've not seen it, but it was... United had the most academy graduates playing in the Premier League. And I think we had the third most in Europe. We was only behind Ajax and Barcelona, playing in top flights.
I think that's still...
It's not far off if it's not bang on. And in the Premier League, we had 22. And the next closest team was Arsenal with 11. Half as many.
Yeah.
And no one talks about it. And we're not talking about also-rans that are playing five games. You're talking about the likes of Heaton and Keane that are smashing it. You got Danny Welbeck, who's one of the better players in Arsenal's side. You're talking about players like Danny Simpson and Drinkwater that are winning leagues. And mm-hmm. these aren't nuggets that are making up the numbers with a 55 squad number.
Yeah,
and
John O'Shea
like
won the Champions
League. Yeah, John O'Shea, like he's first choice. You've got Evans and Fletcher. These lads are first choice captains where they are. And mm-hmm. like, these aren't mugs, right? They're not Ronaldo, they're not Messi, but guess what? There's two people that are Ronaldo and Messi. And there's nobody else on that level. And people always say to me, Southampton's academy is better. Why? Because they brought through Theo Walcott 12 fucking years ago.
No, to be fair, they have brought quite a few players.
They have brought a few players.
You know, you look at Gareth Bale, Oxlade-Chamberlain, Luke yep. Shaw, you know, the players that they brought through from League One, like Schneiderlin and Font and other players that they've got, like Lallana.
I don't think
you know
can
I mean?
Categorically say that, but you're talking about players from 10 years ago here now. If you're talking about players from 10 years ago, you've got to go back and look what United's produced. Maybe Gareth Bale's exceeded all of what we've produced, but I think as a volume, United still produces way more.
But in terms of resale value, we don't produce people then to sell them for 20, 40 million, we produce them and say, right, there you go, you can go for 500 grand.
There's
go and develop your education, and then someone will pay 30 million quid for you, and we'll be like, hang on a minute.
Or we'll pay 30 million quid for you, or 90. The issue that United have is that United pay particularly good wages, even lower down the levels.
Mm.
So when we have to, and I see a lot of people ask me this, like, why is it United never get good money for the people that we're selling, and why is it United always never put in like a clause? Most of the time, the clubs that's taking players off us is doing us a favour, sort of, because we don't want the player and we want them off our wage
book,
so we have to take a lower wage.
Yeah, well, as soon as a club wants rid of you, that's it. They don't care.
There's only a couple of occasions when somebody wants to take our player to the next level, and it's usually only Real Madrid that does that to us, and they pay a premium for that when they come in. They do what we have to do when we have to cough up loads of dough. I expect if Dave goes, and I do expect him to go, that's got to be an obscene amount of cash. That's got to be 50 plus 60 million. It's got to be.
And as long as James Rodriguez, I don't really want to. I would probably take Morata.
Well, like I just said to you a minute ago, innit, that might not be what they're selling.
Well,
You've just walked in pizza and asked for a double cheeseburger.
Yeah, but it's I don't think it's about what they're selling. You've got to think of the player as well. Like his goal ratio has been mint this season.
Rodriguez.
No.
Rodriguez is as well. I just not sure exactly how he fits in.
No, I don't know where he fits in.
I don't know the overall plan of what they're looking for at United. They might have a 3-year plan in place, which is eventually it might phase matter out. It might move Mkhitaryan somewhere different.
They're going to be a point where they're in the 30s, aren't they?
I hope that's the case, at least, anyway. I hope we're not just fucking buying people like a kid on Christmas Day with a selection box and just fucking ramming it in a kite, like.
Get the South America market and just commercialise everything even more so than what it already has.
They're definitely going to do that. And I think that is one of the reasons to buy Rodriguez. He's a quality footballer. I just don't think... Wait. But have we won the under-12s Premier League? Like, I thought that's an under-21s. No.
Yeah.
I was going to say, this is it as well. People say United's academy is shit. We won prior to this season where we've just avoided relegation. We won 3 out of the last 4 under-21 Premier Leagues. No one gives a fuck. Doesn't matter. So I think the longer-term resale of United players, especially those that come through the academy, because we want them gone, we have to take... because they're going to be on high wages, because the player's not going to take a massive wage, because he's like, no, fuck you, this is what I get paid. So when we go to a club, we're like, right, like, we want him off the wage bill, because ultimately clubs don't even give a fuck about transfer fee. They care about wages, because that's a repeatable thing that they have to stomach all the time. So when a player goes and we get him off the wage bill, like we've done with Schweinsteiger, like we've done with Memphis, who wouldn't have been on peanuts, Schneiderlin the same, probably Zlatan come summer,
Rooney.
Wayne Rooney is very likely to be one. I wouldn't have thought De Gea is on bad wages.
No.
And, you know, I think he's going as well. And I think Ashley Young could be another that's gone. He's on 100k plus.
Well, he's still got 12 months plus. I think he's got an option to extend it by a year. So, I mean, you look at how much we... The thing is, you can't have that massive overhaul and then expect to just come in. You can replace 3 or 4 players who are on the fringes of the first team, let's say, or in and around it, and then with another 3 or 4 players that are going to strengthen your squad even more. So I can't see...
You can never do it in one window either.
Nah, I can't see both Smalling and Jones being there next year?
No, but I would expect at least one to go. Yeah, I don't know who.
Yeah, I don't know who.
And you think... You could go through every single one of the players and you could say... I mean, there's a lot of talk of that Semedo at Benfica.
But, a lot of talk about everyone.
Well, I think we're signing everyone who plays for Benfica and everyone that signs for Monaco.
Yeah.
And that's it, I think. And probably half of Real Madrid as well.
Yeah, real, you know, Varane, fucking...
And also the other side of Madrid too, by the looks of things. Nainggolan and Griezmann. So I think
Nainggolan's in Roma.
Of course, yeah. They got him from there, didn't they? They got him from Atletico.
I don't know, I can't remember. No, he's from Belgium. Belgian League before that, was he?
I don't know.
So,
you know, I think... Like, I was doing a little Facebook video the other day talking about the different players that we've been linked to and all the rest of it. And because I've been trying to, like, sort of go, right. Obviously, I've been given that on the down low, which not really that down low because I've made two videos about it, but about Rodriguez. But I haven't heard a damn thing about anybody else apart from De Gea when that guy was in Manchester saying both Aguero and Dave are off to Madrid. So I never put my house on all of those, but I always sort of have that in my mind when I've heard that that's the case, that that's a potential. So I think, right, okay. I think, oh, Tino, man, you got to stop with the donations, mate. You're already on the Patreon group. I'll read your comment out though. So, if De Gea goes in the summer, stick with Romero or get a replacement and improve them. Romero's been soluble, he's been stood in. I'll come to that in a minute. Let me get through my... What I'm trying to do is build up a picture of what's coming in and what's coming out.
That's way too hard to do.
But I need to sort of... Because I need to understand why we're going to go for certain targets. And Semedo's the one that makes no sense to me because Valencia's been so good that I've not even had pants on in the Stretford End this year. It's like we're in a permanent knob out for him. He's been absolutely class, hasn't he? I mean, like, he used to be, like, really poor as a defensive fullback. Now... He's not. He's got some serious. Yeah,
he's learning. I think he works like so hard on the training ground and like off it as well in terms of developing himself.
Physically, he's a machine.
Yeah.
So
I mean, he has been getting tired though recently. Hence the reason why he's been resting.
1,000 games.
And he's a non-stop running. So you would want two top players in every position, wouldn't you?
The two top players in every position. I don't agree on that because.
Oh well, players who can play in multiple positions. Adequately, not just as like doing a job, but like, yeah, they're equally as good playing centre mid as they are playing centre half or whatever.
A tiny bit higher, isn't it? But the Semedo one makes no sense because I'm looking at a guy that plays right back and I'm going, well, that's Valencia's position all day. That I would take him all day over everybody at the moment, especially because I think that it's in his heart at United now. He's been here nearly 10 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that he gets us, and I fucking love him. So I don't want to just see him replaced for what might be. All right, yeah, I think Semedo's a better dribbler, probably offers a little bit more going forward. But is he a massive upgrade? He's not a massive upgrade for me, and I think there's places that need a fucking massive upgrade. We're going to need a new centre half, I think, because he's not going to play the kids.
No.
And as much as I was enjoying the Rojo and Bay partnership, Rojo's not going to kick a ball until.
At least January.
So Mourinho's not going to just go and wait for him.
No,
he's got too much to do.
Because even if he doesn't come back in, or if he does come back in January, if we're in Europe,
he could Luke Shaw it as well. He could struggle and never. It could take a year.
And if we're in Europe at that time, you've got to name your squad for Europe again, haven't you? For the replacement. So would he be putting him in there? He probably wouldn't want to take the risk.
Yeah. And then I go right. So I think we're going to sign a centre half. And if we're signing a centre half. And we've got Rojo as one of the backups. And you've got Smalling or Jones. Definitely not both.
No.
And then potentially Tuan Zebe. But you know what? If I'm Tuan Zebe, I'm going into the manager's office and going, with all respect, Mr. Mourinho, you've not played me when you had ample choice. I need to go out on loan next year because there's no point in wasting me to be sat on the bench or playing in the 23s.
I mean, he'll be learning, but not as much as what he'll be learning.
Nah,
like, I mean, look at people like Michael Keane, like we've said. You know, you go there, you play that, you're in the cut and thrust of it.
Yeah, you've got to get out there. So I think Tuan Zebe needs to go, which means then you do need to bring in another centre-half at least. But you've also got a couple of lads knocking right up behind Tuan Zebe, who, because they're younger... might just score all right, and that's Roshan and Terrell Warren, who are both fucking brilliant. All three of them are excellent centre halves. All got something a little different about them.
Well, he might have said, or they might have said this season, like, you know, when he's having a meeting with Woodward, like, look, just leave me to it this year. I know youth is important, but he is playing youth, yeah, though, because he's playing
Rashford,
Lingard, and Pogba, yeah, like from.
I'm not counting Pogba. £90 million guy's in a academy. He is also an academy.
He is, but that's how we can get away with it and get around it as well, because if you think, so I've got to carry this on, so there's my get out clause straight away. But this season, right, let me just get in there, get all my shit together, and then once I'm more settled in the role and I've had the place for 12 months and I know we can rely on and we can't rely on, then I can start integrating the youth a bit more.
Well, his team's massively evolved from the start of the season. Herrera was nowhere to be seen at the start of the season. Now, I wouldn't be surprised if he's the first name on the team sheet.
But he even said, though, like Herrera said it when the manager first came in, he gave me massive confidence because he said, I'm going to be a really important player for you. What Herrera said. So I don't know whether that was pre-season or it was at the start of the season. But did he play Rooney and persevere with Rooney because he was giving him enough rope to hang himself with?
It's been amazing how he's just ghosted Rooney out of the team. There was a bit of a kerfuffle on Derby Day when he dropped him, and there was all those photos of Rooney sat on the bench and then nothing.
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing.
But if he was playing well to, you know, deserve a spot, like Rashford was when he's doing his 20-minute cameos and he scored against Hull. If he was knocking on the manager's door like that, yeah, then you'd be like, yep, you know, that's when you can say. But,
well, Rashford always puts it in with his performances, doesn't he? But it's been interesting because Lingard at the start of the season looked like he was going to be like, I don't think you're going to get in here. And he took him out of the team, he cussed him out a little bit. He's obviously worked in training, and then the movement and some of the things that he brings to the game.
Very direct, isn't he?
Yeah, and that's, I say this far too often, it's becoming a bit of a cliche that he ain't going to win a Ballon d'Or, but I want Lingard in my squad.
Yeah,
because he offers something entirely different.
Definitely,
you know, and he won't play 50 games a season, but 25, you know, he might be Warrington's answer to Park Ji-sung.
Well, we've always said that you need, you know, if it was just 11 or 14,
yeah, I hate
40
that
men.
Question. People are, what's our best 11? Well, who are we playing?
Yeah, it depends.
And who are we playing after it? And who have we just played?
He's proved on all the big occasions. He's popped up with goals.
Yeah.
In cup finals. Yeah. So what do you do? You just say, all right, yeah, he hasn't contributed as much as what he should do in terms of the minutes that he's played in comparison to
other players. There's a little bit of lack of quality sometimes to his play. With the ball at his feet, I think that lets him down slightly. But his work rate, his energy, enthusiasm, especially.
When do players like that come into the peak, or, you know, attacking midfielders or any type of player? He's, what, 23?
Experience, isn't it?
Yeah, 23. In three, 4 year time, if he's still doing the same things, then you'd be like, well, hang on a minute. You know, what have you learned? How have you come on? How have you developed?
I'm just going to have a look at how many games he's played for us, Lingard, because I think you're still a rookie, mate, until you've had 100 first team games, and I'm not sure he's got.
Yeah, I don't think he's played 100. He's only been around this squad for the last
95. But that includes.
He's
only played 48 for United. Well, yeah, that includes four seasons in the Championship.
That's in the Premier League, if you include Europe, 77.
So he's still a rookie.
Yeah. I mean, goals wise, he scored what?
11. 11 in 77.
The last two, yeah.
He's not far off there. So he's got 22 starts in the league, and he's popped up with
one goal.
And he's got, where's the other goals come from then? Europe. He's got two in Europe, one in the League Cup.
One in Charity, just got a Charity Shield.
Yeah, so he's got 5 in 36 this season. It's not a bad return. No, I think
you would want more.
Double figures, you're laughing, aren't you?
But that's the same with everyone who you want more in terms of goal scoring wise. It's only Zlatan who's it the numbers. Everyone else is lacking. And that's what I think we will rectify next year. We're so hard to beat. So, you know, people do not score.
That's the one.
Do not score goals at us. You don't go, you know, Monaco, yeah, they've gone through and they've smashed teams. They scored 3 in the last 4 games in Champions League.
You come up
against Juventus side who can defend first and foremost. They're not having a sniff, or they've had a few chances, but they know how to defend. The same what they did to Barcelona, like PSG capitulated and got absolutely battered. They had one shot on target at home in the Nou Camp? You know, so if you can defend first, no one's calling Juve's display boring.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
No, I like how Juve set up. It is a defensive formation. It's a defensive system.
And it's the fluidity as well, because the way they change.
A lot of it's down to him, to be honest.
Who?
Cuadrado.
Well, he's just come out. He's not. He don't really play that much.
No, but the way he attacks, he brings a lot of that extra dimension. It's not just him because they have is Alves as well. Isn't
yeah,
it?
Dani Alves. But it's,
whoever they use the fullbacks,
but,
excellent.
But the way that they've got it, they've got like so they play the three centre halves and then it can go into a four or whatever. But they've got two, or they did have obviously Paddy, but then they've got that Alexandro, and then they've got Alves, and who's the other one he plays
good,
right
good
back?
Wing-backs, is it mate?
Lichtsteiner?
I don't know.
They still got him, or has he gone elsewhere?
Jerm Mooney has just dropped in €2. Thank you very much for that, buddy. He says, Jose has players fired up. 3-1 United mint. I'm assuming you're talking about tomorrow. But we can talk about tomorrow, actually, because...
Well, do you want to just go back to Two Shot Tino asking about the...
Yeah, we totally fucking... We said we was going to, didn't we? Because I was going to finish off on the whole squad, because I was going to say, I think Rooney's a goner. I don't think Marshall, Rashford... are going to go. No. I do think Zlatan's going to go. So arguably, you could still be looking at two forwards coming in.
Oh, yeah.
Because someone mentioned it, actually, on something the other day, which was that he signed Zlatan thinking he had Rooney, but Rooney's not delivered. So if he'd have had a firing, even half-firing Rooney, it might have been okay this season anyway. But because we've not had a Rooney, but when he replaces him, that's two now, isn't it?
But did he, though?
What do you mean, did he?
No, they had Rooney, because Rooney's like...
No, I'm saying, did he think he had Rooney?
I think he's watched the games and he's probably studied the squad a lot beforehand.
Maybe.
To watch the performances, not the mentality, because...
It might have been one of the blind spots that he had. If he was someone that he wanted to sign, he might have been like, well, I know Rooney.
I don't think Jose has any room for sentiment.
True. Two Shot Tinos, if De Gea goes, when De Gea goes, stick with Romero or get a replacement. As much as I like Romero and he's been excellent in Europa League, he's not the finished product, is it? And there's a reason we got him for free and he's been happy to sit on the bench.
Yeah, and he does not fill me with confidence. He was doing, and then when
his shot-stopping's class.
And then he punches things and yeah, you know, you do have quite a few hearted mouth moments where you're thinking,
fuck me, against Anderlecht. I was just making noises, me, for the last 5 minutes of that.
Don't inspire. And I mean, as a defender, that's what you want. And like, they were saying, you know, everything's saying Jose likes a keeper who's like absolutely imposing as a, you know, physical figure.
Which would tie in with the Donnarumma thing, because how old is he? 11? Like, he's about 9'12" and he's
and,
fucking enormous.
Oblak is...
Yeah, he's another big dude.
Well,
yeah, so...
Would you get two players, if you was getting Griezmann, would you get like two players from Atletico in the summer?
Depends how skint they are.
Well, they're moving to the new stadium, aren't they?
That's going
to
cost a pretty penny. In Madrid?
And
Simeone bouncing as well.
Well, no, I think Simeone said he would take him through. But then again, if Simeone went to Inter Milan, for example, because they've got a bit of money, then you know, everyone will be up for grabs. I think as soon as he goes, a lot of them players will go.
But the players will go, but the new manager's going to come in and want dough. So they might go, well, let's sell what we've got at the peak of its asset.
Yeah.
And the new guys might have like 20 million to spend, because we're going to blow about 80 at least on Griezmann. And if you wanted the keeper as well, I think you're going to be probably looking at 40s at least.
Oh, 35, yeah, 40.
So, you know, you're talking about a lot of dough. That might be half a stadium bin. You don't know what chairmen are like, do you? Sometimes they're like, well...
Well, there's definitely some up, because Atletico don't look anything like they have done the last two seasons, three seasons.
They're also a tiny squad by comparison of Barca's and Real Madrid's. And they're competing on multiple fronts and not doing terrible, really.
Well, semi-finals of Champions League.
Yeah, they're not doing terrible.
Last final, two out of the last...
I mean, yeah.
What, three, is it?
Yeah, and, oh my God, the fucking game last night with that Ronaldo kid. He's decent, isn't he?
Where did they get him from?
Wouldn't do it in the Prem, though, would he? Oh my fucking God, like...
You're unreal.
Can you imagine if we'd have had that level of finishing?
This season?
Yeah. Forget it.
Yeah, it's got a game over everything.
We'd have won everything, including last year's Euros. That's how good we'd have been. They'd have honorarily awarded it us as well.
But you know, that's what we're missing, isn't it? Someone who's still, like...
Well, like I said, I've been impressed with Zlatan.
He has looked quite jaded, though. And he has,
he's had to play so many games. And we was calling for this middle of February or something like that. Like, we went through such a purple patch, but there was a couple of times when Zlatan put in a 5 out of 10 performance, and we're like,
against Anderlecht, he was dog shit.
Yeah.
And then I think that just summed up his night. getting that injury.
Fucking dropping back on that. Mason in the comments said, we had a chat about Rodriguez and how that transfer didn't make much sense. Thinking about it, with his return this season, do you think it's Mourinho looking for more goals from midfield? Yeah, but didn't he also had him at Madrid anyway, didn't he? So if he's losing someone that he knows, he might still want more allies in the changing room. Or, you know, people whose mentality and work rate that he knows, yeah, rather than scouting someone, he might...
I mean, he will have done his own work, won't he?
Undoubtedly.
I mean, he would have done it last season. Apparently, he's given two lists, if we do make the Champions League and if we don't.
Really?
Well, that's what I've seen, but...
I think we all thought he was getting a Aubameyang, didn't we? Because he went and personally scouted Dortmund. And I have to say, this was like February or something last year. And everyone got excited about Aubameyang, who's, you know, a hell of a footballer. But we ended up with Mkhitaryan, who I'm very happy with.
Oh,
but
yeah.
He obviously has sent out this... And I did the youth review last week, didn't I, talking about Scholes and how there's a bit of a change of focus in the academy. But one thing that the people that I do speak to at the club are saying is that the scouting and recruitment team and infrastructure that they've implemented for the first team, not so much for the academy, people are a little bit pissed off with that one, but for the first team, they're like, they've literally gone out and gone, who's the best guy in X? You know, Russia, Argentina, Spain, what? Portugal, and they've got them.
I mean, is it easy? It's not just as easy as saying, right, well, let's do the first team and the academy. I think you've got to focus on one area
maybe it's
first.
Less the case, yeah.
And obviously, we got to look at that short-term successes. The academy is still producing players, you know, you think of percentage-wise.
All the way down to the 15s, at least. There's at least one player in all of these age groups what makes me just go, oh. And that's not going to change overnight.
No, it's like, so get your first team soil, because that ultimately, that, like, you know, where the cash cow that it is. And then we can work on the
but supposedly that's what we've done. So last year, maybe he did a little bit of the dirty work himself because he didn't have a team and a club around him officially.
Mm.
So he maybe went and did a little bit of that himself. But, you know, it could be all sorts. Perisic might be an option. I mean, it's... Do you, when you actually list all... Not just the people we've been linked to, because some of them are just... undoubtedly bollocks, but when you look at the ones that have got a little bit of substance to them, so the James Rodriguez one has got a little bit of substance, and that was before even getting thinking, because I've been told for ages Woodward wanted someone like a Rodriguez. Mm. Now Mourinho wants a Rodriguez. You're like, well, if fucking both of them want him, and we're doing business with Real Madrid in the summer anyway,
and they want him gone anyway, or
this is it makes sense in terms of the logistics of the move happening. It doesn't make sense in terms of where the fucker fits into the first team. But the other stuff, so you got like Perisic, like Mourinho's gone out there. Oh, he just went to go to Croatia for a fucking holiday today. Did he really? Doubt it. Like, there's no way that shit happens.
Yeah. But he knows he's going to get followed as well, so he's probably doing a lot for show.
Misdirection.
Yeah,
I would
imagine.
He might. He's also a fucking busy man, though. So.
Yeah, he is, but he's mint with the press, like, in terms of playing him.
True. I think you have to talk about that in a little extent as well, where there's been so many quotes from him that people have flipped about. You've got to go back to Zlatan's book, and it's a rule I've had for a while anyway. Don't listen to players and agents as gospel in press conferences, because there's an agenda.
Mm.
And he says in his book, done his Zlatan, Mourinho says, if I've got something to say to you, I'm saying it to you. Yeah, I'm not going to talk to the press. I'm going to talk to you through the press when I work with you every day.
Well, he's deflecting a lot, saying, oh, you know, he's digging out these players and what they're going to think about it. You know, none of them are coming spitting the dummy out.
No. That social media thing, he says he banned everyone from talking on social media. Obviously, that didn't go down.
No.
Every one of them posted something today. I wonder if that's a load of bollocks as well. Like he said, yeah, I've banned all the players from social media, and then he's had a team meeting gone, I've told all the press you're all banned, but do what you want.
Possibly.
So now all the press go, Mourinho's banned it, the players have disobeyed him.
Yeah.
So, and he's sat there laughing his bollocks off on the plane.
Probably, is he? Well, yeah. Got to be, because David Haye posted on the plane. So, I mean, I don't get that.
Well, the one that we know for a fact, absolute fact, when he did it to fuck off the MEN, because he was sick of the MEN going, taking pictures of everyone, getting on the train and getting at the Lowry. So he told... Like, I know for a fact that Marshall and Rashford were told... Because Marshall didn't come on, but Rashford started, didn't he? Oh, no, Marshall wasn't even on the bench.
No.
But both of them travelled. They travelled down together the same night on a different train. Right.
Just to...
They both travelled down. Now, I think that's meant me. If you want to get a couple of young lads on side and you're the manager of United and you go, listen, watch this. I'm going to have you two come to the train station like 2 hours later and get on the later train. So we're gonna do a bit of misdirection for Conte, thinking because we had no Zlatan, we had no Rooney, we had no Marshall, yeah. didn't we? So he's like, ah, and he goes, he'll go, watch this meltdown, right? Meltdown happens, yeah. and then they're on a train. Can you imagine the fucking the pump on them when he said, you're starting against Chelsea, and this is what's going to happen.
Well, yeah, because the confidence that Rashford had, he were mint.
Yeah, and then Herrera gets sent off and it falls apart. Yeah. But ultimately, I thought it was a really good play by Mourinho. In the build-up to it, count out what happens with Herrera. But that impressed me. Yeah, and I think
he's mint at mind games.
That misdirection there is an example of like what you just said. He could be playing everybody on it. But I loved that. I think I texted you as soon as I found out, didn't I? Like, check this out. I fucking love this. This is awesome.
Yeah, I'll buzz enough that.
And then he's in the lineup starting tomorrow. Ah, you what?
Yeah.
And everyone's going fucking nuts. Yeah, that was mint. I did enjoy that. So it, you know, it could be something like that that's going on. But it's interesting to try and figure out the strategy of it, because I think there will be a strategy. It's just figuring out what the fuck it is, because that's the hard thing at the moment, I think. So tomorrow, season defining, or do you think the Old Trafford one ultimately is going to be more?
Thing is, Celta Vigo have been playing their second team basically in the league game, so they have been getting beat over what I think the last three.
They've rested the shit out of them.
So I mean, I don't think they've been to a European semi-final before. They're 10th, 11th in the league, so this is an opportunity for them just to get in Europe next year, regardless of it Champions League or not. Then this is an opportunity to do that. So yeah, you're saying, oh, we fresh, but you know for a fact that we're going to be fired up. I think if we play like we did in Anderlecht, then we've got a very good chance of winning.
Yep.
But at the same time, it could also go completely tits up. But I can't see it going tits up, to be fair.
Well, like we said earlier, we've got such a good defence that I think we can go and get... We can definitely get a draw.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Oh, masters of that.
And I think that might be enough. And I think we can beat them at home.
But the thing is, when we get to the home leg, we're completely different. Like when we played against Anderlecht, you know, when we play against anyone.
It could be another one of these draws. We could also go for them. And I was thinking with a lot of the defensive injuries, Jose's going to just have to go forward. And that might have been a bonus for us.
But no, his first instinct is to defend and nick one. And I think that's what he will do tomorrow.
Especially away. I have faith in him over a two-legged game like this against Celta Vigo that we're going through. The problem is what I witnessed earlier when I saw what Ajax did to Leon.
And just blitzed them.
That was unbelievable. Mm. That was really good. Kluivert's kid came on, right? How fucking old does that make you feel? I remember Kluivert being 18. Now he's got a kid.
I don't really remember him being 18 because he was only young at the time.
Yeah, he was a footy manager legend, mate. Championship manager too.
He scored in the Champions League final, didn't he? Or the European Cup final it was in 95. Yeah, it is bangers.
Insane.
But again, I mean, if you get through and you play Ajax, you would expect us to beat Ajax. Ajax is second behind Feyenoord in the league. Feyenoord, yeah, they beat us away, but we was absolutely dog shit that day. And then we beat him at home, didn't we?
Yeah, but you can't just go off
that. No, I'm not just going off that, the league form, but you know, you got to look at some certain strengths of it. There's a reason why they're top of league in that as well.
So, I believe Willock, Tuanzebe, McTominay are all travelling, as well as Smalling, Jones and Bailly. So, I don't know how many players we've taken. Obviously, it's whatever ends up in the squad, innit? But I guess we'll find out.
Yeah.
Some of the comments, several people in the comments have asked, actually, was Angel Gomez training with the first team today? I don't know, but the picture that he just put on Instagram, that's not the Europa training kit. He's in the white kit, so that he might have trained with the first team this week. I do know that there's been some cross training going on with the different age groups, doing mixed stuff, so he could have easily been part of first team training, but that was a couple of weeks ago when he was injured, so I don't know. I mean, if he has, then good, because there's a lot of people could learn off how he plays the game. I mean, you've not seen intelligence on the ball with passing ability like this since Scholes, I don't think, coupled with the agility that he's got. He's a hell of a footballer. He definitely needs to get stronger. Because he is so small, but I think he can do it. He's got, you know, a really sensible and good family around him, and and he's determined, sensible kid. I think he's.
That's what you want.
He knows what he knows what's at stake here. I think, and I would expect him to. I think it like Fergie said to Jesse, it might not be a teenage debut for him. Although, what was it? It was last season. I was talking to Paddy Crowan about him, and he was. Was he even fucking 16? I don't know if he was even fucking 16 at the time. And Paddy Crowan was like, I'd play him tomorrow. Oh, when was it?
Yeah, I think, yeah.
It was Midtjylland away last year. So I can't even remember how old he was. I think he was. He might have only just been 15. Yeah, and Paddy Crowan was like, I'll fucking play him tomorrow, me. Dave's in the comments. Angels was at rehab at Carrington before travelling to Altrincham to watch the 18s. There you go. I don't think he is fit. No, I think he's going to be out for the season. David told me that earlier. But out for the season could be 2 fucking weeks, couldn't it? In the middle of May.
Well, yeah, it's not long to go, is it? No, this is like the crunch time.
Nanny is not his cousin. He's his godfather, Lucas. One of the questions is Nanny his cousin? Was that BS? And he was born in England. For everyone who gets that wrong, and it's not Angel, it's Angel. So correct anyone that you see saying that. How's Timbo doing? Well, he trained as well, didn't he, without a sling? Or did he turn up without a sling but not train? Luke Shaw turned up and didn't train.
What did he actually do?
Dislocated his shoulder.
Yeah, I thought so, but I'm sure I read somewhere, I was like, he injured his calf, and I thought...
He might have.
That's not true.
But might have Phil Jones did. But I'm just been like a car crash.
But no, I remember him. I remember seeing him come off the pitch and he was in agony holding his like shoulder and that. So,
that's a fucking shame, because Joe Watt was a real fucking show of Jose's cards, that he came off the bench and Rooney didn't.
But the thing what Jose said when he brought afterwards brought him, he goes, I had to bring him on, as in like oh fucking hell, I've got nothing else, there's no other option I can do but bring Timbo on. I'm like,
you had Rooney there though. Like I actually expected it to have been Rooney that come on. But then he thought, oh, Timbo running around like a dickhead, yes,
just a bit of energy, yeah, and be able to break as well. He's got the pace to break, you know, if the very rare instance that we would have broke for, but you know, he was definitely not making taking any chances as soon as Fellaini decided to put his fucking head on him.
fucking draw at Swansea, 1 out of 14 draws, like, and we've had some bangers decisions in those, but 1 out of them. How about Burnley at home when we had 37 fucking shots?
We were shit on Sunday, though.
We were shit on Sunday.
Everyone was like... No one was at the races. No one.
Paul Pogba. Or a lack of Paul Pogba, and you see how little creativity this team
everyone,
really has.
Yeah, everyone.
I know a lot of people have come out and actually got onto that now, yeah, but, I mean, for the amount of people like, what does Pogba actually do? Load your fucking knobheads. Oh, he's only got as many assists as Lucas Leiva. And
asked.
Yeah,
I
really don't care. He's creating more chances than anyone else in England, for starters. He's
more
passing. He's fucking
mint.
Class.
He's absolutely mint.
I don't know how much of a difference he would have made against City. I think some, because he just ran through that midfield and he don't run through with him.
No.
He's not Roy Keane, but he's fucking massive.
Yeah,
and he does put himself about.
And he's got that presence as well.
Of course,
and
he has.
Some of them balls to put through, you know, I think Rashford would have got onto at least one of them. And then that could have been a completely different story.
Oh, God, yeah. Well, yeah, that's the one. The getting that balls in behind, quick turn, fast pace on the on a transition from defence to attack. That's what Pogba does. He hits them balls mint. Thoughts on Tyrell Warren? Had a strong game at the Cliff, says TTE FIFA. Yeah, I thought he was man of the match. Who was that against? West Ham last week on Saturday. Yeah, Tyrell Warren had a colossal game. Just one of those games where everything comes off right, and he was playing up against an absolute linebacker of a centre forward. Unbelievable dude for West Ham, and he just dealt with him. It was excellent. Thought he was really, really good. And again, I think him, Roshan and Tuan Zabi, it's a shame because three of them ain't making it. Mm. And you've got one that's 17, one 18 and one 19. Three of them ain't making it. So what do you do? And it'd be a shame to watch them go elsewhere and do it, but I mean, there's three seriously talented footballers here.
But you know, is that where we're learning the lesson from, the fact that we'll get something where we can bring them back in, you know, if they develop?
Maybe. I told you that the game that we seem to be playing at the moment, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, I've got nearly 800 watching. That's sick. How many of you have been dual screening with the back end there of Juventus and Monaco? And how do you think that's going to line up now? Because two dominant wins there, I think it's pretty much a Monaco Real final, a Juve Real final, isn't it?
Yeah, you'd expect it. And that'd be a juicy final. I wanted Monaco to go in and win it just to stick two fingers up at everyone else in terms of, you know, how refreshing it is to see him. But I can't. Who would you say then? I would probably say still Juventus.
I don't know. I think it's an excellent game. There's a ticket I can have if I want it. It's just dough. Serious dough.
For the final?
Yeah.
In Cardiff?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think my mate's got some.
Who that?
At work. He's from Cardiff anyway. So I think his mum's got them, actually.
Selling them, or is he...
No, I don't think he's selling them. They'll be going to that.
Yeah, you got to fucking go, haven't you?
Yeah.
I think it's... I think it's going to be a top final. Excellent final. And I think United get there. I just don't know if we beat Ajax in this form. Because, like, on paper we do, but we're struggling with so many patched up injuries.
I know, but the thing is, I think if we get through to the final, like, have you seen how it works in terms of the games? It'll be like that last... Well,
it's a game every... It's twice, two games a week now until the end of the season.
He definitely won't be asked about then... Southampton and Palace, which will be two within the week before the final. No way.
My prediction is that we go to Arsenal on Sunday with a strong lineup, and depending on the result of that game and the result of Thursday night, because if we lose on Thursday night,
oh yeah,
then he's got to go. So I think in his head, he's preparing to go to Arsenal to win the game on Sunday.
Well, he hates getting beat off Wenger.
Absolutely. And I think... I think we go into Thursday trying to get a win, and we go into Sunday trying to get a win. And depending on those two results together, like, you can look back on those, is what he does going forward.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think if we get dicked by... I mean, it's unlikely, but it could happen. If we get dicked 3-0 away by Celta, and he weighs up, like, the probability of us going through is slim, but we beat Arsenal, then I think he goes, fuck it. We do whatever we have to do on Thursday, but I'm playing a strong team against Spurs on the weekend, and then we go for it. And obviously, you as cliched as it is, we have to take every game as it comes at the moment, and that is an absolute...
Like, they're just absolute blockbusters. The next four games.
Can we get 500 likes? That's only not even... It's about a third of you who are watching. Just hit like. Can we get 500 likes instantly? And I might answer the question that you're all fucking mithering about in the chat here, but I might not. But yeah, it's a fucking killer end to the season, isn't it? Yeah. I think Liverpool.
This is what you want. Yeah, oh, that killed us off.
Yeah.
I watched a little bit of the game, and Watford didn't really threaten at all. But I was speaking to a Liverpool fan today, he said they were late at the bar like last minute, so his arse was going a bit. But that's us out of the top four there, really. You would have to think now. You would expect City and Liverpool with their running to be. To be in the pole position.
Fuck me, unless they totally fucking Gerrard it up. Yeah, I mean, I can't see that happening in all honesty.
No,
I really can't. Unfortunately, I don't think that's going to happen.
It's a good position to be in to say that we've still got an opportunity to qualify two chances for the Champions League.
We do. And
but it's a big gamble. It's obviously a lottery, isn't it? A cup competition.
Of course it is, yeah. And
I mean, we don't deserve to be in the top four based on the whole entire league form. Because if we do, we would be in there already.
Yeah.
So.
Unfortunately. And again, it's the draws, man. One fucking draw would have put us in third. Like.
One win, yeah.
Sorry, yeah. One non not being a draw.
I know, mad. But away from home, we've got an absolutely sick record in the Premier League.
Points per game, we've got the best.
Yeah.
It's not the best in terms of overall points because we played one or two less than City, I think. We've got the best. I think it's City.
Yeah, because City have got like three home games compared to our three away games, aren't they?
So. Yeah, so I think that's the difference on that one. But ultimately, yeah, we've been great. And if you'd have said... I think I worked out, if we'd have just had the same level of form away as at home as we have away, then we wouldn't have been top. because it still wouldn't have been good enough. But you know, I'm still putting a fairly average away record, you know, for a home record. Mm. We'd have been 2 points behind Spurs, and I was like, do you know what? That feels fair to me this season. That feels like where I want.
But what is fair?
What is fair? Yeah. Right, we got some questions on the Reddit group. Thank you to everybody who's hit us up with those. So let's head over to Reddit and find out what those are. Right, who would win in a fight? Herrera, De Gea, Mata, Rojo and Valencia versus Smalling, Jones, Shaw, Lingard and Young. What? Anything with Valencia and Rojo's in is murking anything. Yeah. Even if Mata goes hugging the ones that they're smashing, Valencia and Rojo, the South American and crazy, which is the same thing, I guess, but yeah, whatever. Who's the player a target that will bring out the best in Paul Pogba next season? I think it might be Griezmann, me. Someone who's going to get on the end of them passes and bury him. Because he's creating.
Yeah.
Someone's got to finish him. And yeah, I think...
So we need someone...
Pure finishing. He's the... he's the... What's it? What are my thoughts on these two videos about Jose Mourinho? Oh, I can't watch those while we're live. Thoughts on Robbie teaming up with a son for a video. I love the podcast, by the way. I got no problem with it. You know, why... Look, you've got to deal with any of the newspapers. You've got to deal with any of the newspapers. Son's got a bit of a checkered past. But ultimately... I've done stuff with the Sun. I do stuff with Ian Wright and the Dream Team all the time, so I can't have any problem with it.
Snake.
But I'm not wearing badges saying don't buy the Sun and then working with the Sun. I've never said anything like that. So, you know, I've said that.
Do you buy the
talk
Sun?
Shit.
Then?
Me? No, I don't buy it. They give it free at the paper shop, though.
Why? Because it's shit.
Probably. I mean, it's shit for thingies, isn't it? But yeah, I've got nothing against working with them. No, I work with all, like, from BT to BBC and Sky. And...
Well, it's all the same fucking guy who owns them anyway.
True
ultimately.
Story. Yeah,
and
yeah,
then when Fox again merge and buy out Sky, then it's fucking game over.
Yeah. Do I think Mata is underrated? Yes.
Do you see that video with him dancing on the wall? Funny though.
He looks well buzzing to be back, doesn't he? Fucking right.
That's easy, fucking.
Do I know how close LVG was to getting sacked? Yes, I do. In fact, no. He wasn't that close to getting sacked. He offered his resignation twice.
After we fucking capitulated.
I'm not sure which. I think Stoke was one of them. But
we lost them games in a row, wasn't it? Is it four in a row?
Yeah. He offered his resignation and Woodward said no, which made no sense. And I don't know why they did that.
Well, Woodward,
maybe because they just didn't have someone for that 4 or 5 months.
Woodward probably thought, well, no, you know, Jose getting in the summer, give him a whole season sack. He probably didn't want to come in halfway through the season because
tarnish his own rep and everything.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, people are egotistical.
Yeah. Stop asking me about him in the fucking comments, honestly. Fuck, who gives a fuck? He's a nugget. Do I blame Fergie for Moyes' appointment or do I think it was the right choice at the time? I wanted Jose, but I was all right with Moyes.
Then went Ancelotti's first choice.
He would have been my choice as well.
I think that's who he wanted.
But I...
It's a bit of a come down, isn't it, going from Ancelotti to Moyes.
But the logic of it made sense to me, like, oh, he's a Scottish manager, hard grafter, and I was behind it, like, yeah, let's see how this goes.
I think I said he'd, like, if he'd have kept everything the same and just gone in, you know, maybe brought someone in to be a confidant, like Steve Round, for example, but left everyone else, like Mike Phelan and Rennie Mullenstein and that sort of thing, the same team behind him, then I think we would have been a lot better than what we were. And then you phase people out. You don't just go in, like I say, don't just go in and fucking get rid of everyone.
He also didn't get the signings he wanted. Maybe because he was David Moyes. Because I think that there was Ronaldo potentially lined up. And as soon as he was like,
Fabregas.
What do you mean you fucking going?
Yeah.
And who have you got in replacing?
Who?
No. Yeah, no.
No chance. I mean, he's pretty, I think he's... He doesn't help himself, does he, with his comments? That's what pisses me off. Like, when he said we aspire to be at the same level then, when we got BLC, like, shut your motherfucking mouth.
Yeah, you don't.
I mean, for all the intents and purposes, he's supposed to be a nice guy.
Yeah, but you don't say shit like that, mate. Yeah, you fucking... Fucking Christ. Who's these fucking virgins in the comments? Right, next one. So do I blame Fergie? I think he had an appointment apart, but you know what? You can't really blame him that much. I think he was doing it for the right part of the club. For the right reasons. Why people want to get blocked, I don't know. What was the biggest bottle job? Gerrard slipping against Chelsea or JT slipping against us? John Terry's, I think. Because it was literally...
It was a big eye arm, wasn't it? Yeah, he
waited. Oh, mate, he was adjusting that captain's armband on the World Cup. Deep breaths. We're already reading tomorrow's headlines. Captain fantastic and
not
all
thinking
that
about
shit.
His mum fucking sucking someone off. Allegedly.
It's not her. Some porn stars said it was her.
All right.
But,
it was funny, though.
Who's all these fucking Arsenal fans in the comments? If I was making an MMA gym with three past and present Premier League footballers, who would they be and why? Only one United player. Zlatan, because he's a black belt in Taekwondo.
Wes Brown.
Wes Brown, because he's a black belt in Judo. And Kante, because I'm sure you could teach him to be a wrestler with that fucking chewed. Sam, sorry I'm poor. Mate, you don't have to drop in tips. It's entirely up to you. You don't have to fucking do that. But thank you very much, mate. Very much appreciated. Harry says, thoughts on Ade Barlow. Ade Barlow's a sick player. And I think he's just struggled because he's not quite a bigger name as like Chong and Gomez in the academy. And he's just gone to the England, part of the England side, instead of Gomez because of the injury Gomez has had. And I think there's a hell of a footballer there. I mean, that goal he scored last year really put him on the fucking map, didn't it? That rainbow flick one.
Mm.
Have you heard of the Jonestown Massacre? I have not. Have you?
No. Is that recent?
I don't know. Let's Google it. The Jonestown Massacre was an informal name for the People's Temple agricultural project formed by the blah, blah, blah. Wait. Something to do with 9/11. Where's this? Where is it? Guyana.
1978.
918 people were killed in a commune near an airstrip. 909 Americans died in Jonestown.
It was the largest event, loss of American civil life up until September 11.
Wow. There's a lot of stuff to digest there, so not going to do that this time, but we'll check it out.
Yeah, I'll have a look at that
for the next one. We're only up 370 likes with 800 of you watching. Press the fucking like button, bitches. What formation do you think United should go with next season? Again, like I'm happy that he doesn't have a set formation. Louis van Gaal had that set 4-2-3-1. Well, I suppose he's changed it a bit every now and then. Played three at the back sometimes, but yeah. Super rigid in how he played. And Jose's not like that, so I like that. Oh, here's one off XR Popcorn. This is a good one. Let's talk Fellaini. If you use Mourinho now, what would you do with Fellaini? Keep him or sell him? And how would you use him if you kept?
Oh, God. It's a difficult one, that. Because he had been showing signs of improvement. Do you know what I mean? And you think, just when he starts to probably be win you over and that, and then he just goes, you're like, what are you doing? Proper fucking idiot.
I don't think he should be a first choice player.
No, I don't think so.
Drama with him being in the squad because he does offer something different. And when you offer something different, in terms of like what he offered at Everton, chaos in the opposition box, like that. Don't like chaos in our box. Chaos in our box is not good.
No.
Samarek has dropped in a tip. Thank you very much. I think Jack Brown says, how dare you disrespect my viewers? These motherfuckers know what a crack is. I think that's one of the issues is that I think Jose likes him, but I think there's better footballers out there. With the ball at his feet, he's just not...
No, it's not.
Like we said against City, he wasn't fine. There was a couple of times when he looked up with the ball at his feet and the ball was onto Rashford in the channel and he just didn't have the ability in him to play that ball. And you think, that's what Fellaini offers you. You know, he's a limited footballer, that.
Yeah.
You know, I think he puts his heart into it. I think he really enjoys it. And I think he likes the club and all that lot. But ultimately, he ain't Pogba.
Nah. And Herrera makes them passes as well, key passes.
Herrera does make those key passes. Do you think he could play Herrera and Pogba as a two with like a four forwards? What's happening there? Next season?
No.
Like in a 4-2-3-1?
No, because I think it would expose us, and he's not about getting exposed.
True. A lot of comments. Was that the last question? De Gea's replacement, if he goes, for me, Donnarumma.
I don't know. It's hard to replace. There's very few, if any, replacements that you can have for De Gea. So you're not going to get someone of the same ilk. You're going to have to potentially get someone with the potential then to be as good. But it's not going to be straight away.
Questions for you. Do you think there's a possibility in Neymar? Unfortunately, yeah, I think there is a possibility, but I wouldn't have said it's a likely possibility.
No, I can't see it happening.
Because I know their skin, and he's got tax problems, but I'm not sure how you just get away from the tax problems by moving to Manchester. I'm sure they're going to know where you are.
Yeah.
There's reports of a swap deal with Madrid regarding De Gea. Could we get Cruz and Varane? Probably not, because I would like those. I think you're talking serious talent there, but I'm not sure you're going to get them. Thoughts on Mbappe, top class and worth 100 million quid, or just an overhyped version of Martial? Probably somewhere in the middle. I think he's really good, but yeah, 100 million. I mean, 100 million for Pogba was mad, but he'd proved it over 4 years.
Yeah.
Whereas Mbappe, you know, needs a bit longer time.
Definitely.
Have I considered a full-length MUFC documentary like The Class of 92? Yes. However, that shit costs tens, if not hundreds of thousands. I'm just... One of the reasons why we've got a Patreon, which is a great way for segueing into what we've got with a Patreon. Last week during the pod, the fucking chaos when Illy was here, we did hit the target for our next thing, which is me and Ben doing a live stream. I have figured out the technology on how to do all that shit, so we will be doing all that shit when it works with you and Illy, because we're going to get in here, we'll get beard up, and we're going to play Wii Sports as a live stream. Just a little bit of fun. I think possibly... Once the season ends, I think, because there's just too many fucking matches at the moment. But one of the things that we're aiming for with the Patreon that we've got is funding that allows us to go and make documentaries. Now, there's loads of documentaries I want to make. One actually on the Class of 92, because it is the 25th anniversary of that this month. So I wanted to do something with that. I've not been able to do that. So what I might do is, an idea that David in the comments has mentioned to us, which I think is a really good idea, is I've got my old man's programme from the final at Old Trafford against Crystal Palace 25 years ago. What I might do is, starting on the anniversary, I might drop, like, make it like a 4 or 5 part video and say, right, here's part one, and see which of the players I can get on there. I think I can get all the Ben Farnley. I've got his email address, so it'd be a pretty easy win, I think. And I'm going to try and get them players to sign it, and maybe do as like a little 30 seconds, just one thing they remember about the day,
yeah.
And see if I can complete it in a year. The likes of Giggs and Butt and Scholes are actually fairly easy to get. The one that you're not getting is Beckham, I think. Getting all the Beckham is going to be like fucking finding a winning lottery ticket, I think, isn't it? So I think I am probably going to struggle. What I might have to do is get the other... I think I've got a list on my phone of everyone involved on the day. There's about 16 people, I think. Robbie Savage is one, Eric Harrison and Joe, all the rest of it. But I think I might have to get everybody else and then try and get Beckham, because I don't think you're getting... hey, go away. I don't think you're just going to find Beckham. You're going to have to try and doorstep him somewhere, I think, aren't you? I think he'd do it, but I think if you approach like his marketing people, they'd just fucking ignore
no
you.
No chance.
Yeah, they'd be like, who? Fuck off. So I think you'd have to get everybody else and then just do a mad campaign. I think he's active on Instagram, isn't he? So we'll have to maybe try and get everyone to blast him on Instagram. But yeah, so I do want to do documentaries. That is where I want to take this channel with stuff like that, is to do really in-depth documentaries. So if you check out the Patreon, which is in the link in the description below, there's a bit more of a, you know, more well thought out explanation of everything that we're trying to do over there. So go check that out. And the last question... find it strange that City and Chelsea have spent billions on players to be where they are, and the media are not going on about them having the best academies. What's the point if you're not using them? One rule for United, one for everyone else, in it, as usual.
The United, it's headlines, whatever.
Oh, this guy's getting... like, everyone wants us to talk about the AJ fight. Did you watch it?
Yeah, did you?
Yeah, I turned it off after the fifth round.
What?
I was bored.
Bored? Are you fucking mad?
And then... by all accounts, it went off then onwards.
Yeah, it was a sick fight. Yeah, he looked proper jaded, like really, really tired. And you're like, you know, if you don't get him out of it, and then obviously you fucking put him on his ass, and you're like, go on, lad. But then he just looked like he was spent after he put a, you know, he swung a lot of punches,
a lot of horsepower in it.
And then obviously Klitschko came back. He showed like what it is. Andy sat next to me going, it's a fix, this, look at that, you know, that was his chance to get him out, and now it's like blah, 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 so from whatever happens on here, but then for him to
Smarak, thank you very much, that's awesome, love you as well.
To come back and then, like, take his head clean off, like, I was not expecting that.
Well, do you know what, it's the first time he's thrown a, well, I don't know if it was the first time because I didn't watch all of it, but the first five rounds I was watching, I was getting bored of the fucking jab straight, jab straight, jab straight. There was no variation in his attack. And then when he does fucking come up with an uppercut, he puts him in fucking 1982.
Yeah. Thing is, like I say though, he was weighing a lot heavier. He was like 10 pounds heavier than Klitschko. There was no way that he could last at an intensity for 12 rounds. It just doesn't happen.
No, not at that size.
Nah, there's not. So you've got to pick and choose your moments. And I think he did it well to a certain degree, but he looked like he were lagging. And you know, if you're looking at the odds in play, there's like Klitschko was just getting heavy favourite.
Oh yeah, well,
like Joshua 3-1 to win in like round 10 and 11, and you're thinking
the ones I was going to put on, I was looking at like 3, 4, 5, 6 and 7. Mm. For a KO, I thought that's how it's going down. I didn't think he was going to knock him out in the 11th, like Jesus.
Nah, he just seemed to summon up that strength, and like I said, he dug really deep to get the job done. So
I think you got a superstar in the making.
Yeah, you
I
can't
think the heavyweight
him.
Division needs it.
Can't dismiss him. I mean, I'm glad he was in a proper fight for definite, like, you know, been wanting to see him get tested.
Well, yeah, because he has had a fairly easy route to where he is now, and when you look at like Lomachenko, who's like 8-1. Who for me is the best boxer out there all over the gaff. So Lomachenko's just fucking looking amazing.
Mm.
And his record's 8-1, but when you look at the people he's fought, it's like second and third pro fights he was hitting people with 40-1 records and stuff. Whereas you look at some of the others, like a lot of English fighters.
He gets padded out, yeah. Yeah, it gets padded. But the thing is, well, is like the undercards are shit. So there's no...
It's heard, yeah.
Yeah, it's like... To be fair, I didn't realise what time the fight started on Saturday, because I went round to Vidge's house and I'm thinking, oh, get there about 9:30, put Jasmine to bed, get 9:30, watch a couple of fights and then watch the AJ fight. So I thought, I won't mind watching
yeah,
Scott
10
Quick.
10 miles it started, didn't it?
Yeah, it's like, but then Lax phoning me saying, you better hurry up, come and pick us up, because
be
the fight
fair,
starts.
The walkout and the fanning around in the wing.
Oh, it's
around
35 minutes.
Yeah, it was ages.
Yeah, ages.
When you're used to watching the UFC where it's like, in and out, read it, yeah. Fight. Get out, next one. And that is the difference. Boxing is not offering you as much in terms of, like, UFC is putting on 4 fights on a pay-per-view, and it's 1 a month. So, like, I mean, 4 fights that you want to see.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, and at least 1 title fight. Someone hit me up on email before. We've seen this about people who got Cody boxes going down for 10 years.
Well, I'm not.
Did I retweet it? I might have retweeted it.
It's not illegal to stream.
Talk to the fucking judge, you criminal.
Fuck the judge.
People using Cody boxes could face 10 years in jail after a new law is passed.
All right, whatever.
So it's a new law, so maybe it is illegal. Controversial law is passed. Sharing copyrighted content could land you in jail for a decade.
But don't share it.
Illegally watching and sharing.
All right. There you go. Well, I don't watch illegal content anymore.
Coincidentally. right, that will probably do us. So on that note, yeah, thank you guys for joining us. Please subscribe if you're new over here. We've had a few subscribes tonight by the looks of things. We was going for 75k, not sure if that's possible. Let me know what you're thinking about the Monday night warm down podcast. We do have True Geordie coming on. Did one with my granddad last week, so I had pretty good reaction.
A warm
always
down, is it a warm down or a cool down?
It's a warm down.
It's a cool down.
It's both. It can be both.
Right.
Google it, you know, bed. So we got the warm down on a Monday night. I've got Laura Woods from Soccer AM this Monday after the Arsenal game. She's an Arsenal fan, so that'll be interesting hearing her non-mental Arsenal perspective on what's going on at the Emirates. I've got Boltwood from the Front Three and from Spencer FC's channel on the following Monday after Spurs, because he's a Spurs fan. And then I've got True Geordie on the 29th, so hopefully that's going to be a good one. I think that's going to be a fucking belter, actually, chatting to him. And then we've got some decent dudes in June. Jimmy Conrad is going to be on at some point as well. Next month. Next week sometime. He's in Madrid at the moment. He said we can do it as soon as he gets back. So let us know what you're thinking about that. And it's also going to be on its own separate feed on iTunes as well, so the Warm Down will get its own separate podcast feed, separate from that one. So there's a couple of things that you need to go and subscribe to. One being a Stephen Howson podcast on YouTube, because that's where this show will be going after the end of the season, and also its own iTunes spectacular as well. So thank you guys for watching. Check out all the links below from the Patreon and the other channel and everything like that. We'll be back, Wednesday or Thursday?
Wednesday, the return
second leg in it. Yeah. So yeah, next Wednesday we will be back, and I'll be back on Monday with whoever the fuck I've just said it is going to be on. fuck it, whatever. Thanks for watching. We'll see you in a bit.
Laters.